This is Evolutionary Radio. We are coming at you live from the Evolutionary Radio headquarters. This is your host, Trevor Caritzen. As always, we have Steve Smee in the house.
Yeah, what's up?
We also have the Mason. Matt, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Living the dream, man. Just to show where my priorities are at, the Winnipeg and Nashville hockey game is just starting right now, and instead of watching the game, I'm recording the podcast.
Can you just DVR it?
It's not the same, Steve.
Yeah, the thing is with hockey, this is why Americans don't like hockey so much, is the fucking intermissions. It's like they have like a 17-minute intermission between first and second period and second and third period. So if you DVR it, and then just start watching an hour into the game, you can just skip through the intermission. So in some ways, it's like you won't miss anything. You know what I'm saying?
Sort of.
Plus, you're just a bandwagon fan, so I don't feel bad for you.
Yeah, but I'm the only person in Winnipeg not watching the game. It's a big deal, man. This is the first year our team hasn't sucked. Everyone's got Jets fever.
17,000 people outside of the stadium.
In Winnipeg?
Yep.
See, it would be 17,001 if it wasn't for this episode.
That's like the population of Winnipeg.
Yeah.
I was going to say the same thing. It's like 17,000 people in all of like that part of Canada.
That's think about how much Canada Dry they must be going through during a game like that.
Oh, they're drinking a lot of beer probably. I know you guys like beer up there.
Yeah, we drink a lot of beer. Okay, so that's enough about the Winnipeg Jets. Steve, you want to go ahead and introduce topic number one?
Yeah, let's go through it here. This is another question. We kind of touched on this before on prior podcasts. But, this gets asked all the time because people are under the misconception that steroids are like fat burners. And they think that if they're like, they look like shit and they're fat, that they can just take steroids and end up looking like Arnold. So every time you hear about like some pro athlete get busted for steroids, you know, they're like ripped, you know, the pro athlete. So people just assume that, you know, steroids are like magic pills. So we get this question a lot and guys want to know, what should their body fat be when using steroids? And the argument is always from guys that, you know, why should it matter what my body fat is? Well, here's my perspective. Here's the perspective I want to kind of take this that no one ever seems to say on the forums. And that is, let's say you're over 15% body fat. That's not bad. You know, between 15 and 20% body fat for the average middle-aged male in the United States is fucking skinny as hell. You know, I mean, let's face it, you know, because every fucking middle-aged guy has a fucking beer gut. So that's great if you're an average gym, you know, Joe, an average Joe's, you know, couch potato, or you like to go to the gym a couple times a week, whatever. Nothing wrong with that. But then why would you use steroids? The thing is, like, you know, if you want to look good and, like, actually see, you know, some of your abs and stuff, you got to be leaner than that. You got to be closer to 10% body fat. And then you use the steroids to kind of build more muscle, get more vascularity so you can really pop those, you know, see those striations, aesthetics, the cuts and, you know, and actually see the muscle. Because what is the point of growing muscle when it's just covered up by fat? So that is the bottom line point that I want to make to guys that are out there. Like with me right now, it's kind of cool. Like I got veins like in my quads. I got veins like my calves look like fucking spider veins. I got veins popping out all over me. I'm like, you know, 9 or 9.5% body fat right now. But if I was 16 or 17% body fat, I wouldn't have any of that. So it's like, it's fun to see that you know, the veins popping out and the cuts, your muscles, and kind of see that and not have that fat covering up. So that's my justification for being lean. So, I mean, I think, you know, if you want to actually be able to see yourself, you know, looking good, you want to cut down into the low teens before you use steroids. That would be my advice. And there's much more reasons for that. Let you guys touch on it before I waste time.
Matt, you go and then I'll finish up because I'm the skinny guy.
Yeah, I think it, you know what? It depends on your goals. Like, can you run steroids at a higher body fat? Sure. Just the same as can you run an oral only cycle? Sure you can. It's just not optimal. You know, I think if you're, you know, like a power lifter, you're probably going to have a higher body fat anyways. And those guys use steroids all the time. So I think, you know, if you're going to do it, you have to have the right expectations. Don't expect to get shredded. Like Steve said, that's not going to happen. You'll get bigger and you'll get stronger, but you know, you're going to probably look worse. You know, your gut's going to be watery. You're not going to get any, you know, hardness at all that you would really want to have from a steroid cycle. So, you know, your side effects are another thing. They're going to definitely be worse because your estrogen conversion is going to be at a much higher rate. It's just not what you want. It's not great for your organs. You know, they're already going to be stressed from a steroid cycle anyways. And then if you add on top of that, you're already at a higher body fat. Your cholesterol levels are probably a little bit elevated. Your liver enzymes will be a little bit higher. It's not an ideal situation. So you have to have all those things in mind because I know a lot of guys, especially younger guys, they're going to do it anyways. So I guess if you're going to do it, you know, just be aware of two things. One, you're going to have more side effects. And two, you're not going to get the results that you think you're going to get. So keep reading on how these things actually work and understand them and then make the decision. But I would highly advise you to get down. If I had to pick an ideal number, I'd probably say 12, give or take, would be a good number. I think 15 gets thrown around a lot. I think 15 is kind of on the high end because you're going to end up adding a little bit of fat on a cycle. It's really hard to avoid that. So I would prefer, you know, 10 to 12. That gives you a little bit of room. If you add some fat, you're still going to be in good shape. So that would be my number.
I see this happen time and time again. So someone's overweight. They think steroids are going to help them lose body fat. So they buy some steroids. They run the steroid cycle. The higher your body fat percentage, the more testosterone is going to aromatize into estrogen, the worse your muscle insulin sensitivity. So you're probably just going to get more fat and you're probably just going to get high estrogen side effects like bloating, water retention, maybe even gyno. So this guy buys a steroid cycle thinking it's going to help him lose body fat. He runs the steroid cycle. He then ends up getting side effects because his body fat's way too high. He also feels like crap because his cholesterol, his blood pressure, it's all through the roof. So then he finishes off the cycle. He doesn't look any better. In fact, he probably looks worse. He's pissed because he just spent all this money on a steroid cycle, didn't get any results. And now to top it all off, he probably has gyno. So don't run a steroid cycle if you're at too high of a body fat percentage. It's not going to give you the results you want. It's going to be counterproductive. And also it's going to put a ton of strain on your body. It's going to put a ton of strain on your heart, your organs, your kidneys, your liver. It's just a bad idea. It's pointless. It's exactly like Steve said. Even if you gain 10 pounds of muscle, you're not going to look any better because you're still going to be fat. So Steve, do you have anything else you want to add or do you want to?
One of the kind of things that gets thrown around very, very little too on forums. I've seen you mention it, Trevor. And it's true because I know because I've been as low as 6% body fat and as high as 17% body fat in the past 10 years. Like I fluctuate my weight up and down as I please, you know, because I run these crazy diets. But the thing is, it is true that the higher body fat you are, the more insulin resistant you are. And that's why you see a lot of these guys on YouTube and stuff who run trend, they tell them their stories and they're like, oh, I feel hypo while I'm on trend. I get hypo symptoms. I feel low blood sugar. Well, it's because you're fat. You're too fat to be running trend. So it is absolutely true. So it is very counterproductive to be running steroids, especially very, very androgenic steroids and very anabolic steroids like tren or anadrol or high amounts of testosterone, because yes, it will make you gain fat and make it harder to lose fat when you're taking them. So you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot. So it does make a difference. That is true. And I'm living proof of that.
I'll say one more thing and then you can introduce topic number two, Steve. Anyone who's, you know, seen a day in the life of Trevor and, you know, you've seen me post my daily diet and stuff like that, I eat a lot of carbs. You know, I do about 400 to 500 grams of carbs a day. I can get away with that because I'm a young guy, I'm very active, and I'm at a very, very low body fat percentage. I would never put someone at a higher body fat, someone who's older, someone who's not as active as myself, on that amount of carbs. So just like Steve said, the higher your body fat percentage, the worse your muscle insulin sensitivity. And also as you age, your muscle insulin sensitivity gets worse. That's why most people kind of notice anecdotally when they're young, they can eat tons and tons of carbs and it just gives them better pumps. It just goes straight to their muscles. But as they get older, they need to be more careful with their carbs and eat more fats. Steve, I'm sure you've noticed that as well. So that's kind of why it all has to come down to muscle insulin sensitivity.
Yeah, it's a domino effect for sure. So next topic, relationship topic. I came across a really heartbreaking video. And this is kind of weird because we're three guys. And this video is by a woman. And the video is on YouTube. It says, OMG, I just found out my husband cheated on me. And she did a series of videos from the time she found out her husband cheated on her to the time she got divorced. And it's really fascinating. So basically, the crux of the video that I'm talking about is she basically, her husband told her that he was out with his, you know, with work, and he was entertaining some people with work. He was going to have some drinks, blah, blah, blah. He comes home, he goes in the bathroom and hides, starts using his phone. So she goes into the bathroom. She's like, why are you like hiding your phone from me and stuff? So long story short, she gets a hold of his phone and she looks into it. She finds out that he has been cheating on her with his assistant from work. So that was really where he was. He wasn't out with, you know, a bunch of clients or whatever. So she got devastated. She has two kids with him. She said that they had been having sex like every day. And he finally broke down and admitted that he had been cheating on her. And he had basically been having sex with this woman as well. So I just wanted to like kind of talk about this because, you know, we're three guys. And as men, you know, it's very tempting out there when you're in a relationship or you're married to cheat, you know. And, you know, my view on it is, you know, you're not an alpha male if you cheat. An alpha male resists the temptation to cheat. An alpha male takes care of his family. And in this example, this guy basically throws away his wife and two kids to go and be with his fucking assistant. And if you watch the videos after, he ends up living in their house with his assistant and her kid. So he dumps his family to live with his assistant and her kid and raise her kid. And he doesn't even bother to spend time with his own family. So this is an example of a beta male. That's the difference between an alpha male and a beta male. A real man doesn't commit to a woman and then go and screw her over like that and cheat on her and abandon his family. So you got to be able to resist the temptation of doing that. And, you know, if you're not willing to do that, then you shouldn't enter into a relationship and you shouldn't get married in the first place. You know, so, you know, this is a really, really, it was kind of a heartbreaking video to see because she's a beautiful woman, very warm, nurturing, beautiful woman. And this scumbag, you know, did this to her and did this to his own kids. And I'm sure, you know, things with the assistant didn't work out. I'm sure he probably ended up cheating on her or she ended up cheating on him. So it's a no-win situation.
Matt, I'll let you spend more time on this topic because you're married, happily married, I should add. But I can tell you with 99.9% certainty that new relationship with his assistant is not going to last. He was addicted to the thrill. He was addicted to doing something he wasn't supposed to. It's kind of like when, you know, you're 16 and you're drinking because you're underage, or you're smoking because you're underage. You know, you think you're so cool because you're doing something you're not supposed to. But then once you're actually 18, smoking cigarettes, drinking, it kind of loses its appeal because it's not badass anymore. You know, you're allowed to, so it's not that exciting. So Matt, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this, because I'm sure as a married man of, I think, 12 years or so, you know, your wife have been married, you must fall into temptation from time to time, but you probably realize that, you know, a couple minutes of enjoyment isn't worth throwing out years of dedication and someone you love.
You know what? That's the bottom line right there. Exactly what you just said. It's a couple minutes of enjoyment. For most guys, that's about all you're going to last, right? In your little fantasy thing that happens. This is going to sound kind of corny, whatever, but the things that matter to me are when I get to go with my wife and kids to the pumpkin patch and we get to pick out pumpkins for Halloween, or when we get to go cut down the Christmas tree, or when we get to go, you know, watch a game, you know, watch an NBA, an NHL, a Major League Baseball game, things like that. When we get to take our dogs for a walk or just have like game night, those kind of things. That's what matters, you know, in the long run, that's what you have. And your kids are going to learn from what they're around. You know, they're going to see a family that's, you know, happy and functioning, and then they're going to turn out to hopefully be people, you know, that have those kind of values. Is it tempting? Of course it is. You know, as men, that's just the way we think, right? How many stories do we hear about guys like completely addicted to porn and all this stuff? Like, that's what we are. We want to bang all the time, you know, especially now with the weather warming up, all the little sluts come out, right? That's what it is. And yeah, they look great and whatever, but in your mind, like, you have to be mature enough. You have to know, hey, like, it's fine to look, but I can't do anything about it. What? It would never be worth it to risk your whole family for 5 minutes or however long you get away with it until you get caught. And then eventually you have nothing, you hit rock bottom. And I mean, this shit happens all the time. And it's not because, you know, you've been married and your wife got fat, or you've been married and your husband doesn't give a shit anymore, he ignores you. It's not just that. Right? Because you see it with celebrities too, all the time, right? These people are in great shape. They're gorgeous. And they still cheat. And you're like, how? How do you cheat? You have like Tiger Woods, perfect example, right? Married to a supermodel, ends up fucking around all over the place. And it's like, people can't understand that. But it's human nature, right? To want what you don't have. But again, it comes back to that maturity level and understanding, hey, like, I made a commitment. It's might be good for a minute, but is that what I really want? You know, that's not what's going to be good for me. That's not what I actually care about. You're not going to ever love that person. You know, in this case, that guy doesn't love his assistant. He loves the fact that he can bang her in secret, and it's something he shouldn't be doing. So it's out there. There's a reason why the divorce rate's over 50%, because it's easy to quit. It's easy to just, you know, give in or whatever. What's hard is when you've been married for 10 or 12 years and it's not as fun as exciting anymore, and you have to figure it out. You have to find ways to make it fun, and you have to find ways to get through things and not just give up, you know? So I don't know. It is. I'm glad I didn't see it, because I hate watching stuff and reading stuff about that. I could tell you how I could hours, right? I could go on about the amount of families I've seen just in my kids' hockey, you know, the families that go through divorces and how negatively it affects the kids. I don't know if either of you guys, if your parents are together, divorced, whatever. My parents were like still are together. And to me, it made a huge difference in my life as a kid and like my values. So I don't know. It's not to say that everybody should stick it out, because I don't think that's healthy either. There are relationships that are toxic and, you know, you have to get out. But I think, you know, to just quit because you work with somebody that's hot and wears a low cut shirt all the time, like, you know, that's not going to work. So
statistically, Matt, if both your parents are still married and you're married with your wife, whatever, you have a greater than 60% chance of staying together. And then statistically, if both your parents are divorced, you have a less than 60% chance. I mean, you have a more than 60% chance of getting divorced. So it's the flip side. So your chances of divorce, if your parents are still together, both of you, is low, much lower than if both your parents are divorced. So it is true. So it does have to do with the way you're growing up and stuff. And I've experienced that dating women who've had parents that were divorced, and they, you know, it was, there was a lot of confliction and stuff. But I just want to make one more point before we move on to the next topic. This is important because this is something I learned today from, I like to read dating books and stuff, but I read something very interesting by Patty Stanger. She made a good point. These women are like in their mid to late 20s who are going out partying and, you know, drinking and whatever. Those are girls, okay? And guys, Matt and I's age, okay, and Trevor, another 5 or 10 years, you're going to think the same way. We want women. We don't want girls. So if you're a girl and you're acting, you know, like that, like drinking and being a slutty girl and having a different guy like every week, we're going to get turned off by that. And guys that are listening to this, if those are the girls that you're going after, you're a boy. You're still a boy. There's nothing wrong with that. Go have your fun. But you're not a man yet. So if that is your objective, do not enter into a serious relationship or get married yet, because you are too young and too immature. And there's nothing wrong with that. Go and have your fun. Just don't get serious with anybody yet, until you become a man. And the way you'll know you're a man is those girls that you like to bang and have fun with, those girls become totally unattracted to you. Because for me, those girls I have no interest in.
I think one of the main reasons I've never cheated on someone I was dating is I always think back to, you know, pre-contest dieting for a bodybuilding show, and, you know, you're so hungry and you're so miserable. And then, you know, you're at the grocery store and you see like maybe some chocolate bars or whatever, whatever food you crave, right? And you think to yourself, like, you have that, you know, voice in the back of your head, like, you know, you should just eat it. You should just go for it. But eating that chocolate bar is going to last, you know, 2, 3, 4 minutes. But then the rest of the day, you're going to know you cheated on your diet. And obviously, you know, like eating a chocolate bar, it's not like you're going to die or something, but it's more than that. It's say you have this goal and you're on this journey and you're trying to be true to yourself and you want to know that you did everything in your power to present the best package on the stage. So I always think back to that, you know, is it worth it? Is, you know, a couple of minutes of pleasure worth spending days knowing that I cheated on my diet or whatever? So our next topic is how to properly warm up. No, banging your secretary doesn't count as a good warm up. This is what I like to do for a warm up. I like to do 5 minutes of light cardio. Just get the blood flowing. During those 5 minutes, I take the time to turn off my phone. If you're using your phone for music, put it on airplane mode or put it on silent or whatever. And I kind of try to turn off my brain, because, you know, I'm doing a million things. I probably just got to the gym from a meeting at the university or something. So like I'm in the back of my head, I'm thinking about the meeting I just had. So I kind of just take those 5 minutes to get the blood flowing and kind of just focus on the task at hand. You know, I used to think that I was really good at multitasking and I could do a bunch of different things at once, but you can only do one thing very well. You can do a lot of things mediocre. So working out doesn't take a lot of time. You know, most of us probably work out 60, 75, 90 minutes. Make the most of those minutes you're in the gym. You know, focus on the task at hand. So I take 5 minutes, normally go on the step mill, just get the blood flowing, focus on what I'm going to do. I'm thinking about the weights I'm going to use, what exercise I'm going to do. I'm kind of playing out the workout in my head. Then, whatever my first exercise is, let's say I'm doing squats, I'll do a couple sets of squats before I do my working weight. So let's say I'm going to squat 300 pounds. I might do 300 pounds for 5 reps. I might do 100 pounds for 10 reps, 150 pounds for 10 reps, 200 pounds for 5 reps, 250 pounds for, you know, maybe like 3 reps. And then I would do my first hard set of 300 pounds for 5 reps. Just like you want to cool down after your workout and do some stretching, you want to ease into the workout. You don't just go 0 to 60. You know, you kind of got to slowly put your foot on the gas pedal and slowly accelerate to, you know, being at your max weights and your max intensity. So that was an example for squats. Same thing with bench press. You know, if I'm going to bench 3 plates per side, I would start off with 1 plate per side, then maybe do 2 plates per side, then maybe do 2 1/4, and then, you know, go straight to the 3. So like, you never want to just go straight to your working weight. First of all, huge risk of injury. Second of all, you haven't warmed up your central nervous system, so you actually be less efficient. You actually move less weight. So when you're warming up your muscles, but you're also warming up your central nervous system. You're almost kind of like reminding your body how to do the exercise movement and the movement pattern. Steve, I know you have a background in powerlifting, so you can go into how what you do for warm-ups, and then we'll let Matt go.
Yeah, the thing is, in a lot of gyms, let's say you're going to do bench press or squat or whatever, I mean, you got people waiting, so it's like we're rushed. You don't really have a chance to warm up properly, but it's also a good idea to just start with a bar, and you really want to do the exercise just with the bar. A lot of people have egos. They just want to start, you know, with 1 plate on each side, whatever, on the bench press or squat. And you really do need to warm up properly. I highly recommend, if you live close to the gym, walking to the gym, bicycling to the gym, that's a great warm up. You really will be able to warm yourself up that way. Start really light and then progress, you know, higher weight. Don't stretch before your workout, stretch after. That's a really important tip that I learned years ago by a triathlete actually taught me that. And the reason for that is you don't want to stretch a cold muscle. So if you get to the gym and stretch first thing, you're going to actually increase your chance of pulling a muscle by stretching it. So you want to warm it up, but you don't want to stretch it up. Go ahead, Charlie.
Before your workout, you want to do what's called dynamic stretching. So that's kind of things like walking lunges, kettlebell swings, arm circles, leg circles, burpees, things like that. Things that are going to increase blood flow, increase movement, increase flexibility and range of motion. But you don't want to do static stretching, was basically where you would do a stretch and hold it. You want to wait until you're doing that after. So before your warm up, you would do dynamic stretching. So that's kind of like what I was talking about. You know, if the squat rack is taken, you could do, you know, body weight walking lunges, you could do leg circles, you could do body weight squats, you could do burpees, things like that. But you wouldn't want to do static stretching, because not only is there a risk of injury, it'll actually decrease your strength. Matt, you go ahead and I'll introduce our next topic.
Yeah, I'll be quick. This one's actually pretty good for me though. I'm in transition right now when it comes to this. I've always just warmed up like, depending how much time I have, I'll usually just like maybe walk on the treadmill, just really, really light cardio, just to kind of, you know, get my body used to that I'm going to be moving, get the blood flowing. And basically all I've ever done, say it's chest day, you know, and I'm going to do bench press, I'll just start off with lightweight. That's kind of what I've always done. Do a couple sets pretty light and then work into it. But lately my shoulder's been bugging me again really bad. I had it good for a while and it's really been pissing me off. So I've kind of switched. It's funny. Steve's actually been helping me a lot with this offline. I've been doing some kind of mobility exercises just to get my, you know, it's more for the joints and the ligaments and the tendons. as opposed to actually warming up the muscle for me at this point. I'm really going to take a good 10, 15 minutes to do things properly. I've done a couple now where I've actually done a few exercises, and it's made a huge difference. And it doesn't matter if I'm lifting, you know, chest, back, shoulders, arms. If I don't do these things properly, my shoulder is fucked. Like, it's the rotator cuff and it's not healing properly because I don't give it enough time, which I need to do. So rest, I guess, is another key for me. But if you guys are getting older, injury prevention, not only warm up light, like Steve said, when you're benching, start with the bar, but also look up different mobility exercises. There's tons that you can do, and it will really help you before you even start lifting weights. It'll get your body ready, especially those joints that once you have a little nagging injury, like, it can go on for years if you don't, you know, deal with it properly and get it taken care of. So that's kind of where I've been lately.
Matt dropping the F-bomb. Matt, what if your children listen to this episode?
I'm going to block it on their iPads.
Don't worry, I'll edit it out.
I get all fired up sometimes, that's all.
Yeah. We know Matt's trigger point, stretching. You want to get Matt riled up, start talking about stretching. So our next topic is the best form of cardio for fat loss. This is a question we get asked a lot. I feel like people think there's a magic form of cardio. You know, like, people kind of think doing the step mill is going to burn fat on your legs, or if you're doing the rower, it's better for bringing out the detail in your back, or like, I hear all these weird sort of things. At the end of the day, cardio burns calories. There's no magic form of cardio. There's no best form of cardio. Obviously, doing sprints is going to be a lot harder than walking. So, I mean, there's different intensity levels. I personally find that I can get my heart rate up way easier on something like the step mill than I could on the recumbent bike. But, I mean, there's no best form of cardio. The only bad form of cardio is the cardio you didn't do. What I personally do is I mix it up. So one day I'll use the step mill, next day I'll use the rower, the next day I'll use the elliptical. I just to keep it interesting, because it gets really boring if you do the same type of cardio every single time. Now that it's getting a little bit warmer outside, what I actually like to do the best is do my cardio outside. I find that's the most enjoyable. You get some fresh air, get some sunshine. Steve, what are your thoughts on the best form of cardio? And then Matt, I'll let you go.
You ever notice, like, you go to the gym and it's like the same guys, like, doing the elliptical, like, every time you're there? You get to the gym, they're doing the elliptical. You leave the gym, they're still on the elliptical.
And they're doing like the same pace, like, almost like they're...
They look like shit. They look like shit. They're like, they've been doing it for a year. Like, the same fucking guy using the same elliptical, they always pick the same one, and they still are fat. Why is that? Is it because cardio doesn't burn fat? Well, it's because it's what they're doing after. What are they doing after? You know what they're doing after? They're going to Chick-fil-A, they're going to McDonald's, they're going to Subway, they're going to get a pizza, whatever. So it's not fat loss. You know, you're not going to lose fat by going and jacking off on the elliptical every day for an hour. It's actually, I can tell you, the elliptical is one of the shittiest ways to do cardio, by the way. I mean, I know this, and you want to know how I know this? Because I was a runner, and I used to, you know, do the elliptical because I wanted to kind of, you know, go easier on my body. But you know what happened to my race times? My race times would crater by doing the elliptical. So the absolute best cardio, if you really want to be the most efficient, is go running, go trail running, and it's fun. And go with a buddy or go on a scenic route through the woods or whatever, because you're not thinking about it. If you go to the gym and jog on the treadmill, it's boring. You're going to jog on a treadmill while you're watching Jerry Springer. I mean, you're going to get bored. So, I mean, a trail run is fun. If there's elevation, that makes it even more fun because you can go up hills, downhills, whatever. So, and you don't even notice that you're doing cardio. It's, you know, you're enjoying it. How about a bicycle trail? There's bicycle trails. Look it up on Google. Every city has a bicycle trail. You take your bicycle there, and there's one way to go. You don't want to go the wrong way. You're going to run into other people, but you go a certain way and you bicycle throughout the trail. There's woods, there's different obstacle courses along the way. It's fun. You're not even thinking about it. So, and you're burning calories, and then just don't fuck it up afterwards. Don't burn 500 calories busting your ass for an hour and then go eat 1,000 calorie meal at what's that place called? Chipotle. Because that's how much a burrito is. Over 1,000 calories for a burrito. So, you know, that's the key to losing fat loss right there. Don't fuck it up after you work hard.
You know what? You know, it's another major benefit of doing, you know, trail rides, doing a hike, things like that.
You have a high probability of getting like abducted, because we talked about that in the last podcast. I guess that's your fantasy. No, I'm kidding. What is it?
You have to go back home. You have to get back home somehow, right? Like, there's a lot of times where I've been going for, I don't really jog. Like, what I'll do is I'll walk for a minute, and then I'll sprint for 10 seconds, and I'll walk for a minute, and I'll sprint for 10 seconds. So I'll do that for like 15 rounds, and then I'm like, okay, I'm pooped, I'm exhausted. And if I was on a treadmill, I'd be like, okay, had enough. But then I'm like a couple kilometers away from my house, so I'm like, well, I got to go back home now. So then I end up doing another half an hour of cardio walking back home. And it's the same thing. Like, if you're doing like a hike or you're doing like a bike up a mountain, you get to the top of the mountain, you're like, oh, that sucked. We still got to get back home. You got to get to the bottom, right? There's no elevators. So it forces you to really push yourself, because it's not easy. You know, on a treadmill, on the rower, on the elliptical or anything like that, you can do 20 minutes and it's like, okay, I'm done. But I mean, when it's uncomfortable, you still have to get back home. Matt, go ahead.
Yeah, so that's the last thing you said. That's kind of my main point. Like, I prefer to run outside, because people that are weak-minded at the gym, when they're tired, they just stop and then they're done. Even if you're weak-minded, if you're out running and you're done, then you're only halfway, because you still got to get back home. So that's the best way to do it. What I like to do in the you know, when it's nice out now, is behind my house a little bit, there's a trail that snowmobiles guys drive on in the wintertime. And it's mainly like stones, like really little stones. So we'll go back there with the kids and we'll ride our bikes. And it's almost like going through sand. So it forces you to use a lot of strength just to pedal the bike. So that's a good one for me. But I think when you talk about cardio, it's whatever, like, anything's better than nothing. So if you're doing something, that's good. So pick things that you like. If you get bored of something, forget it. Move on to something else. You know, there's nothing worse than people that they get on the treadmill and they do it, you know, 3 days a week. And then 2 weeks later, they quit because they're staring at the clock and they're afraid they're going to fall down and it's just a waste. You know, if you're at the gym, move on to something else. Go outside and do some cardio. Like, there's so many things you can do. Just go swimming. That's another good one. It's really, you know, easy on the joints. And the same thing, you get all the way to the end, well, you got to get back too. So, you know, there's lots also, of different things. Just keep it interesting.
There's also something manly about climbing to the top of a hill or the top of a mountain, that you just feel like He-Man. Like, once you got to the summit, you're like, yes, I accomplished something. You know, where you don't feel that on the treadmill. Like, let's say your goal is to do 30 minutes, you do 30 minutes, and then it automatically puts you to the cool down setting. You don't get that feeling of like, yes, I beat this mountain. Trevor 1, Mountain 0. Guys, I just checked the score. It's 2-0 for the Predators. We got to wrap this up. I need to watch my team. They need me. So Matt, go ahead and introduce topic number 5. It's not even going to be a ride. 10 minutes into the first period and we're already down 2 goals. Like, geez, I picked the wrong team to be a bandwagon fan on.
Yeah. All right, so we got a steroid cycle question now, or not a cycle, but a steroid question. It says, what's up, guys? I finished my trend cycle a week ago. I'm wondering about the side effects and when they will subside. I'm mainly concerned about insomnia and when this will be over. I feel like I'm already sleeping a little bit better, but falling asleep can still be a challenge. I was using Trend Ace. I've heard that the half-life is 72 hours. Plus 72 more hours, and it's out of your system. It's been 7 days since my last pin, So I'm assuming any day now. So there's going on there. I think, you know, it's to be expected with Trent. Everybody's different. So I don't know what you guys have experienced. Trent Ace, I absolutely hate it. It's the devil because it hit me really quick, too hard, and I didn't like it. I wanted it gone and I wanted it out of my system. It's just the side effects were ridiculous, even at, you know, a lower dose. But for me, I would say it was probably less than a week and I didn't have any issues anymore. So for this guy, you know, 7 days after his last pin, he's probably getting close to what I would say, you know, within another week at the most, you shouldn't be having any more side effects. But the thing with Trent Ace is it's extremely powerful and insomnia is terrible. It really is the worst part of it in the sweating. So that's why I would say, you know, if you're going to run that stuff, keep it to, you know, 6 weeks is kind of the range I like to say, because it can be a lot to handle. But I'm curious for you guys what you've experienced, if you've had the side effects linger, or, you know, if you have any advice on how to deal with it as it's getting out of your system.
Steve, I'll go quick and then you can finish off this topic because you're the steroid expert of the podcast. Tren is a very, very, very harsh steroid. If you've been off Tren Ace for a week, it's pretty much cleared out of your body. You know, it's going to take a couple more days for it to completely clear out, but it's got basically trace amounts still in your body. So it's basically cleared out for all real world purposes. That being said, when you run a cycle of Tren, it basically, it's like taking a nuclear bomb to your body. Your body is like, what the heck just happened? So even though the Tren's out of your body is still under a lot of stress. A good analogy would be if you had a major surgery. You know, the day after your surgery, the surgery is over, but your body's still totally stressed out. You're going to not have any appetite. You're not going to want to sleep. You know, you're going to feel terrible. Same thing when you finish a cycle of Tren. You know, the hormones out of your body, but recovery takes a lot longer than that. So I'd be patient. You know, probably in 2 to 3 weeks, you'll start to feel like your normal self again. But as we always say, you know, Tren is a very, very powerful steroid. It's a very effective steroid, but it also comes with a lot of side effects. So you get the good and the bad with Tren. Steve, you want to finish up this topic?
You bring up a good point. The Ace, you know, it's got a 48-hour half-life, so that's 2 days. So you multiply that by 5, it's going to take about 10 days to clear out of your system. But just because it cleared out of your system doesn't mean those lingering side effects won't be there. If you gain a lot of mass on Tren, which some guys, you know, are going to, I mean, you can gain a lot of mass and body weight. And that's a combination of fat, water, and some muscle. That's temporary, you know, it's going to put strain on your body. So, I mean, a lot of times the side effects will linger for quite a while. And also you're going into, you know, your post cycle. So now you're going to have a hormonal crash. So really you need to be running a comprehensive PCT, perfect PCT. You need to run your N2 guard. And you need to run cartering. Those are really going to help with all the side effects coming off. And I really hope that those of you who run Tren do not abuse it. Do not run too high of a dosage and do not run it for too long of a time. I really think that 6 weeks on Tren is enough. And then just leave it alone and then save it. And run Tren no more than once every year or year and a half. That's it. Cycling Tren for 12 weeks, coming off for 12 weeks, and going back on Tren for 12 weeks and coming off for 12 weeks. No, don't do that. You're really going to abuse your body. Tren is extremely potent and extremely powerful. It really is no joke. And the things it does to you mentally, you know, is so amazing. Like, It just changes you as a person. It makes you, you know, it holds androgens really, really the dopamine effect that it has really skews your mind, and it really affects you in a lot of ways, from top to bottom. And there's a reason that Tren is called the relationship killer. And believe me, every time I've run Tren, I've killed my relationship for a reason. You know, it's a really a potent thing. So don't abuse Tren and treat it with a lot of respect. It's a hell of a steroid, but don't fuck with it too much.
Maybe that guy who was cheating on his wife with his assistant was on a Tren cycle.
There's actually one of her videos, her early videos, has a picture of him, and he's just some like fat dude. So he may have ran Tren, I don't know, but he doesn't look like he works out. So he's just probably a douche.
That or he got a bunk source, which is just another shout out. If you're looking for a steroid source, check the source reviews on evolutionary.org so you don't end up fat and unhappily divorced. Matt, do you want to go ahead and introduce our last topic?
Yeah, this is a pretty serious one. I know you guys read this before. The title of it is Suffering from Heart Palpitations. And it just says, I've just come off a cycle a few weeks ago, but I am still suffering from a really high heart rate and palpitations. I'm only 30 years old. Do you guys have any knowledge on what might be happening? Steve, you might have a good idea on how the steroids could specifically have affected this. For me, the thing I would ask him, and unfortunately he didn't write back to us when I asked him a few questions, I would ask him, what's he eating and drinking throughout the day? And the idea here is, what kind of stimulants is he putting in his body? Because it's extremely typical. I mean, I know you guys see the younger kids even. It's crazy. Like, as a kid, I wouldn't have dared touch a cup of coffee or, I mean, we didn't even have energy drinks. But, I mean, it's nothing now for a guy that, like, he's 30, for a 30-year-old to drink, you know, 3-4 cups of coffee in the morning, go to work, have your, you know, energy drink midday as your pick-me-up at the office, and then, you know, leave work, have your energy drink or your pre-workout powder on the way to the gym. You know, next thing you know, you've consumed 400 milligrams of caffeine in the morning, another 300 in the afternoon, another 300. You're over 1,000 milligrams of caffeine for the day. If you do that for long periods of time, that's going to be bad on your heart. Like, that's no joke, you know? And the fact that he ran a steroid cycle, I mean, he must have been training 5 days a week probably. So, you know, even if he's not taking the pre-workout on his off days, that's still 5 days out of 7. That's absurd, you know? And then you never know what these guys are doing with their cycles. I mean, there's still guys out there that run Clen, believe it or not, at the end to try to, you know, clean up their gains or whatever they want to call it. So, I mean, that's the question I would ask is, you know, what else are you doing? But I don't know, Steve, do you have any ideas, like, with him running the cycle, what could the steroids, what part could they play in his heart rate being up like this?
Well, Trevor's the expert on the heart, so we'll let him talk about that. But let me talk about the steroid issue first. When you use anabolic steroids, you get the androgenic side effects, you get the estrogenic side effects, and those that aromatize. So, you know, those can cause these problems to multiply. The problem that I see in today's society is this, is that guys will go to the doctor complaining about heart issues. And the doctor doesn't sit down with them and go over, you know, what's your diet like? What's your lifestyle? Exercise, sleep, stress levels, everything from top to bottom. They don't go over that. You know, in Western medicine, the doctor is going to be like, okay, we're going to run this. I want to see your cholesterol. I want to see your blood pressure. They run one blood pressure thing when you walk in there, and everyone gets nervous when they go to the doctor. So that number is not even accurate. You know, you get an accurate perception of blood pressure, you got to test your blood pressure multiple times over the course of several days. You can't just get like one blood pressure reading and be like, okay, you've got high blood pressure. Okay, you got low blood pressure. It doesn't work like that. And, you know, that's stupid, but that's the state of the medical industry now. It's that pathetic. You go to an Eastern medicine doctor, a holistic doctor, and they actually go over all this stuff. I actually had a holistic doctor once tell me when I was much younger, they gave me this advice. They said, you need to change careers. And you know what? Looking back, I wish I had taken their advice because my career has absolutely destroyed me stress-wise. I wish I had taken a different career route. But anyway, that's the difference between a Western doctor and an Eastern doctor. So there are these issues. When you're running into steroids, let's say it's aromatizing into estrogen, right? You got water retention. Doesn't it make sense if you're carrying around like a gallon of water all day that you're going to feel more run down, that you're going to have more pressure on your heart? Androgenic side effects. These steroids are really, they cause your cholesterol levels to skyrocket. They cause your blood pressure to skyrocket. They're really, really rough on your heart. So I would tell this guy, dude, you need to run a full battery of tests. You need to re-look at your entire lifestyle from your sleep to from your stress, your diet, everything, okay? And you need to stay away from steroids until you have a healthy heart. Do not run steroids if you have any issues with your heart health or you're going to pay the price.
Okay, so first thing, I'd give this guy a hard slap across the face and say, smarten up, man. Cardiovascular diseases are the number one killer in North America. If you're suffering from heart palpitations, why the heck would you run a steroid cycle? Like, do you have a death wish? So that was the first thing I'd say is, like, you need to get a lot smarter. Stop taking your health for granted. This is something there's a lot of misinformation about. People think steroids improve healing. They don't. Steroids actually decrease collagen synthesis in the body. Now, collagen is the most abundant protein in the human body. It's what your hair, your skin, your nails, your teeth, it's all made of collagen. Your entire cardiovascular system is also made out of collagen. So the problem is that when you run steroids, it decreases collagen synthesis and it decreases the elasticity of your arteries. So the way that steroids increase heart rate and blood pressure is that, you know, they increase blood pressure and then your arteries, they're not as elastic as they are. So instead of, you know, having a nice flexible tube that'll expand and, you know, and contract, it's very, very rigid. So that increases heart rate because you have a higher blood pressure. You have a narrower tube for the blood to go through. So then heart rate increases. Now he's been off cycle. So I'm not sure what esters he used or anything like that. His heart palpitations should be getting better if the issue was the steroids causing them. I personally don't think it's steroids at all. I think it's a combination of stress and stimulants. You have to be super, super careful today when it comes to dietary supplements. This is a perfect example. I had a client who just sent me an email. I said, hey man, I'm having a huge trouble sleeping. You know, I'm doing everything you told me. I'm following your diet, I'm following your workout program. I said in his workout, in his supplement list that, you know, he was allowed to take, he was allowed to have one cup of black coffee per day and one serving of a pre-workout that had 200 milligrams of caffeine per less. So his caffeine consumption wasn't too crazy. It was, basically around 280 milligrams, which is on the higher end, but he was using a lot more to begin with. So I had to kind of wean him off. But anyways, so this guy had his typical, you know, 9-to-5 job. After his workout, he was taking a protein shake and he was adding creatine to it. So I looked over everything. I'm like, everything looks good, man. Just out of curiosity, what creatine supplement are you using? So he basically sent me some photos of the creatine supplement he was using. It was a flavored like fruit punch creatine. It had 300 milligrams of caffeine per serving. Well, I was like, well, no wonder you can't sleep, man. You're taking 300 milligrams of caffeine after your workout. You finish work at 5, so I'm guessing you get to the gym around 5:30. You're finishing your workout around maybe like 7. You're taking your creatine supplement then, and you want to go to bed 3 hours later. That'd be like chugging 2 energy drinks 3 hours before bed. So what I really think is I think this guy is just not cognizant of how popular stimulants are. He might not even be aware of how much stimulants he's taking. Or he's probably using some sort of like intra-workout BCA or a flavored creatine powder or something like that that contains a lot of stimulants in it and he doesn't even realize it. So I personally think it's that, or it's just stress. Maybe he comes from maybe he's having problems with his wife, maybe his job's not going well, anything like that. I think it's a combination of probably stimulants and stress. Matt and then Steve, you guys have any closing remarks? And then I'll finish up the show because I need to go watch the game.
I think the only thing I would say is, like, always remember that number one is health, you know, over everything else. Steroids have this big allure, and I get it. And we all want to, you know, get big and look great and all this stuff. But, you know, what are we talking here? You're adding an extra 5 pounds of muscle onto your body. Is that worth, you know, risking your health? So keep that in mind when it comes to, you know, just the idea of running steroids or, you know, keeping up with your blood work, just going to the doctor, things like that. Just always remember that your health is the most important thing. And if you don't have that, then steroids don't make a difference anyway.
Two things. You can go on evolution.org in the source section. I have a really long thread on blood work. I show you exactly what you need to do. People are posting their blood work. I'm giving them their advice. You can get blood work done for about $65. And you can go give blood and get your cholesterol, blood pressure checked, iron checked for free. Okay. So between the blood work and getting your donating blood, you can cover all your blood work, okay, from top to bottom. So there's no excuse for not doing that and being aware of what's going on in your body. It's amazing that we care more about the pH level of our pool and making sure that there's a proper amount of chlorine in our pool than we do checking our own bodies, you know, cholesterol and blood pressure and all that good stuff. So take care of your body, guys. It's really, really important.
Two things. Number one, giving blood is awesome. It has a lot of health benefits. It also saves lives. And not only that, you feel like a hero. Like when you give blood, they literally are like, hey, you're saving lives. Like they make you feel like Superman. I've never had a bad experience giving blood. I always walk out of there feeling like I accomplished something. And normally there's really cute nurses. Second thing, always make your health your number one priority. What good is having a really nice body if you're dead? It's not going to do you much good. So for your host, Trevor Caritzen, for my co-host, Steve Smee, and for my second co-host, Matt, who is known on the evolutionary.org forums as Masonic Bodybuilder. Jeez, that was a tongue twister. This has been another episode of Evolutionary Radio.